Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. This is Vox Pop for Thursday, the first day of August. I'm Brian Shields. For many of us, the most important function of our vehicles this week has been the air conditioning. And whether you have an issue with the AC or another automotive problem, Gordon Fricke is back in the studio to take your questions. He is the owner and operator of Barber and Fricke Automotive Incorporated, an independent repair, auto body, towing, and used car facility in Hoosick Falls, New York. The phones are open, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Always a popular show, so get your calls in early, 800-348-2551. Email your questions, voxpop@wamc.org. Gordon Fricke and your car and truck calls all coming up, Vox Pop, right after the news. And welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. On the program today to answer your automotive maintenance and repair questions is Gordon Fricke, owner and operator of Barber and Fricke Automotive Incorporated. It's an independent repair, auto body, towing, and used car facility in Hoosick Falls, New York. Gordon has been in the automotive repair and service industry for more than 30 years, beginning at Factory Mechanics Training School in Germany. And before starting his own business, Gordon worked at the Annis Corporation, a Volkswagen, Porsche, and Audi dealership in Massachusetts. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tweet your questions, comments at Vox Pop, WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Gordon, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Brian. Good to be here.
We mentioned air conditioning early on, but this hot weather can really do a number on your vehicle if you don't have the coolant ready. Other than the coolant, what do you have to do?
Well, you know, the heat does take a toll on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Belts. We don't see many hose issues anymore. Automotive hoses have become very robust, and they don't tend to fail and leak like they used to. You got higher mileage vehicle, you really should have them checked. Tire pressure, extremely important.
Yeah.
The lower the tire pressure is, the warmer the tire is. And when the road temperature is 120 degrees, you don't need extra friction causing the tires to get too hot. And that's when you see these pieces of tire all over the highway. It's always in the middle of generally hot summer months.
It's usually from trucks, those big stretches of tire and rubber you see.
Yeah. Large sections of the tread tends to delaminate and fly off the tire.
Is that from a blowout?
Well, not really. It is a lot of those tires, there are still things called retreads.
Yeah.
And they will take the existing truck tire and grind the casing down and add new tread to it. Unfortunately, that's the weak link, and sometimes they come delaminated and you see these massive pieces of tread all over the place.
Gordon Fricke is here, 800-348-2551. Tweet your questions, comments at Vox, WAMC Vox Pop. Email us, voxpop@wamc.org. The first caller, Rich in Albany. Rich.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a 2007 Town & Country minivan, and the rear shocks are pretty much shot, and they're those Nevomat shocks. And I believe I had a caravan once had the same thing and had the same problem, and somebody was able to put a different heavy-duty shock on there, but these shocks, I'm having a hard time finding anybody to even do them, or somebody told me there's a kit of that you can use, that they can get, but he can't get it, but he said there's some sort of kit that you can get to replace these shocks, and I was wondering if you know anything about them or not. They're supposed to be self-leveling. They're really heavy-duty shock on the minivans.
Yes. What you find in a lot of situations like that is a air shock that is self-leveling by sensors that tell the computer how high or low the back of the vehicle is, makes adjustments, keeps your vehicle level, takes the extra load. If they leak or fail, you're stuck with either two things. You could replace them with a non-leveling shock, and it'll be like your vehicle never had that option. If the original equipment are a touch too expensive, generally, a company called Monroe makes all kinds of aftermarket replacements for vehicles like that. And I had a vehicle not too long ago, same situation. This was conversion vehicle for funeral purposes, and we tried to work around the air shocks and found that Monroe had a replacement that fit perfectly in there. So I think you've got some options if you want to maintain that self-leveling okay. ride.
Yeah, well, I think I looked in the Nevo Max shops, you can get them, and they're anywhere from $250 to $400 a piece, you know, and it just, I don't know if it's worth it, the age of this vehicle. If I get something, you know, that'll work anyway,
yeah.
not bounce around, so it should be
do a search on Monroe.
800-348-2551 on Vox Pop. Gordon Fricke is here. Automotive questions on Vox Pop. Poughkeepsie, Andy, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I have a 2007 Honda Civic air conditioning problem. I know they're notorious for the relay going bad. I've switched out the relay, which was bad. I have also tried to check the charge on the system, and it seems to be like overloaded, and the clutch is not kicking on the compressor when I'm engaging the air conditioning. I'm wondering where I stand.
Sure. There are a few things you can do that's fairly easy for a do-it-yourselfer. Assuming the pressures are okay where the compressor would be able to come on, I don't know if you have gauges or not, but if you even put one of those charging
I tried to use one of those charging things, and it actually was in the red. Like, it was, like, over 100%.
Yep.
Should I try to, like, leak it?
No.
Like, drain it?
No. When you hooked that tank, that can up, had you just finished driving the car? Was it a really hot day?
I had not.
Okay. Because if you drive on a hot day like today or what we've had, your pressures will be quite high because of... who's the guy? Pascal? Is he the guy that did the pressure, the scientist?
Louis Pascal.
So anyway, the contained gas, the higher the pressure, the higher the temperature, the higher the pressure becomes. So now you can have too high pressure in an AC system, and it'll shut the system down by a safety switch. But that generally will not ever occur statically. In other words, not operating the air conditioner. So if you have a 12-volt test light, and you can get to the wire that goes to the compressor, you turn...
I'm sure I can figure that out.
Yeah. I believe that's a single wire to that compressor, and it is going to be provided with 12 volts. So if you take your test light, ground the lead of the test light, and then put the point in the connector to the compressor, and start the car, turn the air on. If your test light lights and your compressor does not engage, you more than likely have a compressor failure. If the the test light doesn't light up, you have a signaling problem and it's not sending the power to the compressor to turn it on. So do that. That'll rule out a lot of stuff for you.
Gotcha. Okay. All righty. Great. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. It's 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke at 800-348-2551. Auto repair questions and maintenance questions all today on Vox Pop. And Joan is in Gilderland.
Hello.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 2009 Matrix that I acquired a few years ago when it was already had been several years old. So I'm making changes gradually to it, and one thing is that it never had a roof rack on it, and I love to put my canoe on top of my cars in the past, so I'd like to know if it's advisable and safe to add a bolt in a rack of some kind. All it has is rails.
Sure.
And then I would mount my Thule rack on top of that.
Yeah, you're already off to a good start, because some vehicles do not have the rails factory installed. But if you have the roof rails, you can simply pick out a system that fits your budget and accessories meet your needs. And Thule makes very good products. Yakima makes very good products.
I have the Thule rack from a prior car, which is lovely. The problem is that this Matrix does not have an installed it doesn't have something on top of it.
Okay.
To put
you
the
have,
dually onto.
Yeah, you have no roof rails then on the vehicle.
Not the real roof
rails,
no.
Okay, that can be sometimes a bit of a problem because you are going to have to buy a add-on rack system that clamps to the vehicle mm-hmm. without the roof rails. So the thing there to do is, if you're savvy on the internet, you can search out a bunch of products, and they will explain to you exactly how they fit. There'll be YouTube videos on how to install it. If that's not the case, you can seek out an accessory shop that sells, usually the places that sell canoes, kayaks, sporting mm-hmm. goods will have also a full line of racks for people's cars. But it is definitely possible for your car, but it's going to be a bit different than a factory side rail system. So you're going to have to do a little bit of research,
okay.
but you can do it. You can get a rack that'll go on that car.
So in other words, I have to buy a different canoe rack. I can't install something on the car that I could put my own rack onto.
I would consult, if your rack is a Thule brand, then
yeah.
see what they have to match your car. You might be able to get stuff that mm-hmm. is compatible. Then you can use all your...
Is it something that suctions onto the car or gets bolted into it?
Well, sometimes there are pads. They're not really suction cups, but they're pads that sit on the roof without denting it in. And then there's a clamping system that grabs the rails or inside of where the doors meet the body of the car. So it's a little bit tricky, and you want to get a good one because it's not being fastened as securely as if you had the factory rails.
Right. You recommend any kind of place that I should go to? Is a regular auto body okay, or should I go to something special?
If you need some consulting, I would...
A dealer.
Well, I don't know if the dealer would be able to help you unless they have a big accessory mm-hmm. department, but you could try them mm-hmm. or a sports place that sells kayaks, canoes, bicycles, because everybody needs to put these things on the roofs of their cars. So maybe a good bike shop, canoe shop, that kind of thing.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Good ideas.
Okay.
Thank you. 800-348-2551, Automotive Maintenance and Repair with Gordon Fricke. More calls in a moment.
Support comes from Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing assisted living, transitional care, rehabilitation therapy, and respite long-term and palliative care for seniors. DaughtersofSarah.org. Vermont Coffee Company, organic coffee in the brown paper bag, available at local grocers. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. From Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, European styling, and prescription and non-prescription sunglasses. Eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITYEYEWEARALBANY.com. And from Adirondack Experience, reimagining the museum experience, presenting curious creatures and private views, ADKX.org for exhibition details.
You're listening to Vox Pop. Joining us today to answer your automotive questions is Gordon Fricke, owner and operator of Barber and Fricke Automotive Incorporated, an independent repair, auto body, towing, and used car facility in Hoosick Falls, New York. The number, 800-348-2551. Emails, voxpop@wamc.org. Let's talk to Dan in North Bennington. Dan?
Hey, Gordon. Love your show. I've got a 2008 BMW 3 Series, and I've only got one key, so I worry about losing it. But someone just told me that these electronic keys can suddenly fail for no reason at all. Is that true?
I have experienced it, and sometimes the chip that's inside of that key loses its ability to send the signal back to the vehicle. So it's as if you got a blank there. So it's very important on a car like yours to have an extra key, because even though you have a blade that goes with that fob, the blade will only get your doors open. There's no ignition lock inside the car to crank it up and start it with.
But have they fixed that on newer models? in mind to where the keys wouldn't, that chip wouldn't fail?
No, and it isn't that terribly common, but it certainly can happen with any chip. And what it is, it's like a transponder that reads a signal and communicates with the onboard computer. Anything can fail on anything electronically, but they don't seem to be much of a problem. But to answer that question, I don't know of any modern cars that have a ignition inside somewhere where if everything failed electronically, you could still start it with a metal key. I think the trend has gone to all electronics.
And is it still the case that you have to go to a dealer to get a key?
Not in all cars. Some of the locksmiths that do automotive locksmith work have invested in the equipment to make and program a lot of these keys and program the vehicles on site. So if you have a vehicle that's compatible with their equipment, they can travel to you and get you running on the road, basically. But it depends on the vehicle. Depends if they have the software and the equipment in their vehicle, because it's a very expensive investment for these guys.
Well, I guess I meant to go and get another key. Like, I need an extra one now. Is that something that shops like yours do?
In the case of your car, a BMW of that vintage, those keys are designed to be plug-and-play. So we could receive the key based on your car information, and that key should operate right away, and that doesn't require reprogramming the vehicle. But BMW is one of the few cars that offers that. A lot of cars, that they have to return to either the dealer or a facility with the programming equipment.
Okay. All right, thanks. I appreciate it all. I'm surprised at how much you know.
Did you get your key?
And I mean that in a good way.
Did you get your extra key yet?
Well, no, I'm stopping somewhere soon.
Yeah, okay, because I think they have that key for you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for calling. How do you know when you press that button to unlock your car that it won't unlock another car? I mean, is there a formula?
Yes, and it's mind-blowing that there are so many unique frequencies that won't happen. Wouldn't you think that if you were in a dealer's lot of, let's say, 200 whatever Chevys or Audis or Volkswagens, mm-hmm. that by some chance you might get another car open?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that happening.
That's amazing.
It is. It's amazing.
800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Cindy in Lake George. Cindy.
Hi. My question is, should I let air out of my tire because my tire light keeps coming on after I drive for a little while?
So is it when you start the car, does the low tire warning light flash for a period of time and then come on and stay steady? Or is it just on steady?
When I park my car, the light is on. I start out in the morning, it flashes a couple of times, and then it goes off. It's fine. And then I go down the road a few miles or, I don't know, an hour. And then it flashes, and then it comes back on.
What kind of car is it?
I have... Pardon me?
What is the year, make, and model?
Subaru. It's a 13 Subaru Forester.
Okay.
I just had everything checked. I just had an oil change, and so I'm thinking he's put he just filled the tires up, you know, and maybe there's too much air in them.
No, I doubt it. If the tires are all at the correct pressures, and there's a pretty good threshold plus and minus, so the light's not coming on constantly. But if the light is flashing from the time you start it, then there's generally a fault in the system, not a pressure situation. So what I'm thinking is, if your pressures are all correct, the system needs to be checked. It needs to be scanned. There's a diagnostic software version for the tire pressure system. And you could have a failing sensor somewhere, but it needs to get analyzed. The only thing you can really do is confirm that your tire pressures are set correctly. And if they are, the system is designed to recognize it and turn off, and everything's good at that point.
So it should, no matter how hot it is outside.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if the threshold, if you put a tremendous amount of air in the tire, if it would also signal that it's too high, because we generally never run into that. They're, you know, they're always on the brink of being too low. So I think you should get it checked.
Okay, I will, and I'm not in a dangerous situation here.
No, no, and if the system is not functioning, go the old school way and just take a look at all your tires and just make sure they all look to be about the same amount of squat, you know, sitting, because a lot of tires look soft and they really aren't, but make sure you don't have one that's really low looking, just so you're not risking having a flat, you know.
Right, I understand. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. It's Gordon Freaky today. Cars, automotive repair, and maintenance today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Emails also voxpop@wamc.org. Let's talk to Robert in Northampton. Robert?
Hi. Thank you for taking the call, gentlemen. Thanks. I have a 2004 Toyota RAV4. I have miles in my car, 486,000 and change. So I have, it's been a wonderful car. I've raised my two kids through the years from almost infancy, well, the age 4 or 5, to now 20, 18 and 20. My question is this. I change my oil regularly, and I've taken good care of the cost of the years. Of late, I've been having to drive a bit more than usual. Got a little job, and I'm working every day now. So my question is, at this point, is there anything I can do to kind of keep my my car from having a heart attack at this age and this number of miles for a little bit longer?
Sure, yeah. Well, it sounds to me like if you've been able to accomplish that kind of mileage, you've done a very good job in maintaining that vehicle. How often do you have the oil changed?
Every 3,000 miles.
Well, so that's an interesting concept right there, because we tend to get a lot of calls regarding oil, when to change it, what oil to use, why synthetic, and the answer.
I've been using synthetic, by the way,
yes,
for many years.
Yeah. So you're a good example of what frequent oil changes can do for an engine. The car manufacturers have very, very extended oil change intervals nowadays. And, you know, we've spoken about it before. Part of it is related to environmental concerns, keeping that oil in the engine longer so there's less potential to get in the atmosphere or in the environment. But on the other hand, the intervals are too long. Engines wear and suffer damage that they never did before, and people are having major issues at 80, 90, 100,000 miles. So
really?
I think you've already figured it out. Just keep doing what you're doing with that car. Keep it maintained, and you will get the max life. You've already gotten an extraordinary lifespan out of that vehicle.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with it.
I think Toyota should send you a medallion or a watch or something, at least, you know?
They send me a cap.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's been wonderful to me because I'm a single dad. I've raised my two kids for the last 14 years, and I'm praying I can get one more year to get my boy to high school this last year.
Yeah.
And if we do that, you know, it's time to retire.
Yep. Keep it up. I think you'll be all right.
All right. Very nice. Thanks a
lot. Thank you. Wow, 487,000.
That's a lot of miles.
I have a Toyota of the same vintage, 2005, and I don't drive quite as much, but still it's doing
great.
Look
what you've got to look forward to.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. He's doing the right thing, whatever he's doing. 800-348-2551. Let's see. Paul in Massachusetts. Paul.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a 2018 GMC Sierra that I picked up last year. There was about 9,000 miles on it. I've got about 19 on it now. I've had it back to the dealer numerous times for a variety of things, but one in particular that they can't seem to fix is this surge or this seemingly hesitation in the accelerator when I you know, when I move away from a stop sign or I slowly accelerate, it almost surges, or it's very subtle, and they can't seem to duplicate it. It's maddening to me because I've never felt this in a car before, other than a vehicle that had some problems with the injectors or the carburetor.
So,
follow me?
Yep. So are they saying this is a normal condition or operating feature of this vehicle, or they recognize something's wrong and can't pinpoint it?
They're not saying anything. They're saying that they can't duplicate it, that they can't sense it themselves.
Have they offered to let you drive another vehicle exactly like yours for a day or two?
No.
Why don't you try that? It is entirely possible that through design and fate, that may be part of the way the vehicle runs, and there's nothing that can be done to improve it. But it'd be nice to know if that's truly the case. I would try another exact same vehicle. You bought this new, obviously.
No, I got it. It had 9,000 miles.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, then I don't know if the dealer will be able to offer you that or not, but they might, because you are under a warranty. If you made that request, that'd be kind of interesting. And if you found that the next one acted close to what yours is doing, it may be a inherent problem or design. But, you know, if they're exhausting their efforts, and they should be communicating with GMC if they can't find it, because maybe GMC in their technical department's got some info on this across the country in their database. Let's say a small percentage of these vehicles is starting to do this. Maybe somewhere they have figured out that there's a little glitch there, and it might be a programming issue, or a service bulletin might be printed on a repair. But yeah, those are tough situations. But that's what I would try. Yeah. Try another truck just for kicks, see if it does the same thing or not.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for calling. It's 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke is here, owner and operator of Barber and Fricke in Hoosick Falls, New York. It's all about auto repair and maintenance today on the program. 800-348-2551. Ted is in Shelburne, Vermont. Go ahead, Ted.
Yes, thank you very much. Partly I'm going into my second decade on an 09 Pontiac Vibe, and I think it's similar enough to the Matrix roof rack situation that I can add a little. Wasn't that your first call?
Yeah, I think
the
so.
The roof rack.
Right.
As you look along that plastic piece on the roof that goes front to back, that covers a seam like in the roof,
yeah,
you'll see a short section of plastic, two of them on each side, that comes out. And underneath that is a nice bolt molding or mounting.
Excellent.
And I custom built, because I had a Thule rack I wanted to carry on a road trip. And so I had a fellow fabricate up from that. But also, if a person can get a factory rack at a salvage yard by any chance or something, or go the factory route. But there is the provision for a nice bolt mounting.
That's great.
That's within that seam. And as I said, I'm that might be useful information.
I think it is, and it's a good thing you called, because that reminds me of, we had a BMW call here earlier, and the 3 Series Beamers of that era have the same thing. There's a little plastic cover that if you look close, it looks a little bit odd. And if you pop it up, it is ready to accept a rack system. So, if that first caller's listening, I think you have the answer, providing that her car is the same.
I believe the Vibe and Matrix they have some detail differences, but they come off the same line. Yeah. I think that part would be the same.
Yep, they are.
And as I said, I also had an erratic tire pressure situation that was actually with some studded snow tires on aftermarket sensors, and I'm over that was in the first 10 years.
Yeah.
And I've now got rid of those wheels and sensors and so on. And anyhow, as I go into, like, I change spark plugs, I've got about 80,000 miles, and I being old kind of, I still had a stick-on magnet oil heater from when I had a tractor that needed it. And so I never start at really ambient temperature cold, and I never take short runs, and I change oil and use synthetic. So I'm going for the second decade.
See if you can catch up with the guy with 400,000 miles.
Right, yeah. And, of course, the paint is coming off the roof, but that's not your issue. I got an estimate for $800 to make that better, and I may paint some white paint on. And I remember painting a car once with a brush about 60 years ago. Let's see. So, and I haven't changed or paid attention to the automatic transmission oil. I'm just not sure if you, and you know, I've maintained it well, and I have a good after mechanic kind of, and it's brakes. There's a funny brake caliper, which I'm told is very expensive because it has a dual function with the emergency brake and the brake and so on. So we haven't yet replaced calipers in the back, but there's one that starts stinking and has unusual wear every, you know, every few years. So that's not a big problem. But what do you have any other, as I say, I'm taking care of fluids and I'm temperature, you know, sensitive to condensation and rust. I was going to say that your long-term keeping rust is something to watch out for, because I've heard of some pretty nice old Toyota type and Matrix and so on products that have gone the way of a finicky inspection
system. They will.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Rank.
And so if there's anything one can do, and if you have suggestions about, I mean, you can't do brand names, but ways of doing a rust preventive.
There are some coatings that are lanolin-based and some petroleum-based that can be sprayed on there, and that's the only thing you can do on existing rust. But that's what I would seek out, somebody that does those lanolin. Fluid film is one product that's used in the industry. You could try that.
Is washing the car on a regular basis the best protection against rust?
It certainly helps, because when that rust, or when the salt and the brine that they use on the roads in the winter stays on there for months at a time, it's inevitable it's going to get through.
800-348-2551. More calls on Vox Pop in a moment.
Support comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons, grapesandgrainswine.com. The Discovery Center, presenting the Fact Finders Lab, an interactive exhibit solving the mysteries and folklore of the pine bush. Using tools of research, inquiry, and experimentation, albanypinebush.org. And from Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, Massachusetts, offering landscape and design services, including installation of trees, shrubs, sod and lawn, stone walls, patios, and more. Whitney'sFarm.com.
Joining us today to answer your automotive questions on Vox Pop, Gordon Fricke, owner and operator of Barber and Fricke Automotive, an independent repair, auto body, towing, and used car facility in Hoosick Falls, New York. The number to call, 800-348-2551. In Johnstown, David, thank you for holding on.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mr. Fricke. Hi. I have an older Mercedes, and it ran out of brake fluid, you know, and so you push your foot down to the brake and it goes to the floor. And I called Mercedes and I said, do I have to get their brake fluid, or can I just get some sort of generic? And they said, oh, I got to get you or Mercedes. Can I get a generic and just put it in there?
What's the year of your car?
96.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing special about brake fluid for that vehicle.
Oh, bless your heart. Oh, yeah. I love you.
Yeah, it's okay. Mercedes-Benz was probably recommending, even in those days, maybe a DOT 4.
Okay.
Three and four are compatible with each other. It has to do with the boiling point of the liquid. But okay, cars generally never need brake fluid. So you,
I know. I didn't think so.
No.
So there's a leak.
Yeah, so you can add some to find out where it's leaking, but if you have pumped out a bunch of brake fluid, you have an issue somewhere that needs repair.
Okay.
But anyway, you can go with, and your owner's manual will tell you, and I'm sure it says, it probably says DOT-4 in that owner's manual.
It did, yes.
Yeah, but it does not have to be Mercedes-Benz brand. You can buy it anywhere you want.
Okay, well, anyway, that would get me to the garage. That was the problem.
Yeah, just be careful. Make sure you're not pumping that fluid out and losing your brakes, half of your ride there. But that's what you can do.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Well, thank you for calling on Vox Pop. It's 800-348-2551 in Little Falls. Stephen, go ahead.
Hi, I have a 2011 Volkswagen Jetta with 215,000 miles on it. I change the oil every 5,000 miles or so. I'm just wondering, when's this car going to die? When should I start looking for a new one?
That's a good question. Seems like you're doing a good job with it thus far. What, a 2011, so is that the 2.5 liter engine?
Yeah, 2.5.
The five-cylinder.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting engine. Good performance. Smoother than a four, not quite a six. And it is a chain-driven cam. So very, very important to keep those oil changes very regular. And I think you might have more mileage to go. I've got one customer with a, I think it's a 13 Sportwagon, same engine. He's got well into the 200s, and the car runs and drives great. Same thing, he's a commuter, so the miles go on quickly. It's good mileage, and he's very, very good with maintenance and oil changes. So, unless something big starts happening, I don't think you need to bail out yet.
Oh, great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551 to Clifton Park. And Mike, go ahead.
Hi, we got a brand new Subaru. And it only has about not even 4,000 miles on it. And at about 1,300, I noticed when it was cold, very slight noise, sound like either a rod or piston slap when it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Now we bought this in March, so it's not very cold in March. And it's gotten a little worse, but still, to the average person, you wouldn't notice it. What do you think? That's something that's going to get worse, or is that a common sound with those engines?
Yep. Yeah, I hear that. I get asked that quite a bit on these later Subarus. And there was a time that Subaru had some serious piston noise that never was a detriment to the engine or its lifespan, but it was annoying enough to where a lot of people disliked the sound. And I think they did some updates on pistons and cylinders midstream, and then they did a redesign, and everything after that got the quieter pistons and cylinders. Your car is quite new, and that's long past that engine that had the piston slap issues. I'm not sure if you're hearing a similar sound, if it's a valve, if it's a piston slap, or if it's a valve lifter noise. Have you brought it to the dealer's attention, or did it just start doing it and you haven't?
I haven't, but I did order a kit to send away for an oil analysis, because that would tell me, what some of that is to, whether it was aluminum or whatever was in the oil. It might give you a better clue as to what's going on, but I haven't. It's just at the edge of where the
right.
average person wouldn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Once you got your ear tuned into it,
you
hear it.
Yeah, that engine has never been the quietest engine, because it's a flat four. It's a opposed four cylinder. They just are noisier, and because the cylinders are lying flat, I'm thinking that the valve noise is being echoed down to the ground easier. So I don't know if I'd be worried. And you got plenty of warranty if you just bought the car. I would just certainly maintain it to the T, do everything right, and if the problem persists or it changes in cold weather, get the dealer involved, and it may be a normal, considered to be a normal condition. You know, I don't think I'd be terribly worried at this moment.
Yeah, I would have waited for a 2020, but the 2020s have got direct injection, and virtually everything I've read about direct injection so far is everybody's had issues with intake valves getting dirty and causing problems.
That's the biggest downfall or side effect from direct injected gas is carbon buildup. Everything else is phenomenal. The power is great. The startup is beautiful. Less pollution, more power. But yeah, the valve buildup is, and some virtually never have that issue. Some cars go 150,000 miles without an issue. Others have carbon problems at 60,000. So everything's going to be direct injected soon. But in any case, we're off the track a little bit. But and those, yeah, by the way, those direct injected engines are noisier than the conventional injected engines.
Yes, I understand that. And I will say that the newer, when as I understand it, when Subaru was belt-driven, the overhead cams were belt-driven, they were slightly quieter.
Very possibly, because, that belt drive system is very, very quiet, for sure. Yep.
But they say the newer ones with the chain drive, I mean, sure, you got, you know, longevity and virtually no maintenance on it if you keep the oil chain.
You hit the nail on the head because...
But they are, as I understand it, they are, a better engine. But I'm just, and the last thing I want to ask is, you know, they say 6,000 mile oil changes. Now, this takes 0W20.
Yep.
And that's only available in synthetic.
Yes.
So is that a good interval for, I mean,
I wouldn't
the thing
go
that worried
any,
me was the first oil change.
Yeah, I wouldn't go any more than that.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of car manufacturers at 10,000 miles, and that is too long. And I've seen some at 15. So no, 6 isn't crazy. It doesn't hurt to do it sooner.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. You know, we had a caller from Poughkeepsie, Laura, who just hung up. But if I read her question right, her parents' car had a tire sensor that said it was under pressure, but it was the spare tire.
Yes, yes.
So they're connected?
Some vehicles have sensors in the spare, or a sensor in the spare. So your vehicle has all of its tires monitored for pressure.
Really?
And it's the vehicles that take a matching spare, same size tire, same wheel, not the little mini
not
spares.
Those
generally hold 60 pounds.
Yeah.
Where if your car has all the same tires, the spare matches the rest of them, it'll be the same pressure as the rest of the tires.
The spare's not hooked up to a wire. It's wireless sensor?
It's, again, a radio frequency.
Wow,
yep, there's
amazing.
A sensor behind the valve stem.
800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Jared in Schenectady. Jared.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a 2015 Subaru Crosstrek. And we've noticed recently, we've had it for about a year, that when the air conditioning is running, the car very noticeably shakes. And we're trying to figure out where to look under the hood for that.
So is this just at idle?
It's most noticeable when it idles.
Yeah.
But you can kind of feel it when you get going.
The air conditioning compressor does consume a fair amount of power from the engine. The average used to be about 5 horsepower. I don't think that car compressor would take that much, but it's a considerable load. A Subaru, we spoke about that earlier, the engine sits flat and low, and it is possible that at idle with the air on, it is just putting enough of a drag on the engine that you may not be experiencing anything terribly abnormally unless it never did this before.
Yeah, this is something we're just starting to notice.
Okay. So have you watched the rotation of the belt and the compressor with the hood open, with the car idling, with the air on?
I have not.
All right, so do that. Obviously, don't put your hands in there, but Maybe get a flashlight and just watch, look at the belt, look at the compressor, look at all the pulleys that the belt turns. You may see something looking funny. You may see a little wobble. You may see the belt juddering, and it could just be a belt pulley issue. How many miles are on the car?
Like 37,000.
Yeah, pretty low mileage for that car, but you may be able to spot something that leads you or your mechanic to a remedy.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling. Let's go now to Charlie in Coxsackie. Charlie.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi. So I have a 2004 Honda CR-V, and it just passed 90,000 miles. And it runs totally fine, but the check engine light has been on for a few months now. When I took it to my mechanic, he ran the system, and it says it's a problem with the EVAP system. But I guess my question is, you know, he was like, it's totally fine. It'll run fine. But is that doing any long-term damage to the vehicle?
Generally not. The EVAP codes are an indication that the vehicle could be letting, some pollutants out of the gas tank or the venting system that contains the gas. So it's an emissions warning light, and when it has to do with the EVAP system, that's usually involved with containing the vapors, the fumes inside of the gas tank, and that's anywhere from the cap to the engine. That vintage CR-V, I believe, had some issues with a valve that is around or on top of the gas tank. I think Honda updated it because there was a lot of trouble with it. It could be, I'm not sure if it's the canister vent valve, but that could be what Honda's calling it. And there was a kit to update those and improve them, but I think it was a pretty sizable job. If I remember correctly, you might have had to take the gas tank partially out to reroute this. You're not harming the vehicle or the engine, and the idea is that you may be letting some pollutants out, and that's why the light's on. So, but if it's just an EVAP leak, gas cap is under suspicion, and we see a lot of corrosion where the gas cap meets the filler neck, you know, where you put the gas in. So if you take off your gas cap and you see that connection where the gas cap screws down is rusty or corroded, clean it up with a scuff pad, like a scouring pad, or maybe some fine sandpaper, and maybe put a little bit of synthetic grease on the gas cap seal, and you may be able to solve that problem completely on your own like that. So I would try that first. That's quick and easy.
Yeah, that definitely sounds a lot easier than removing anything. So, well, cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We've got time for perhaps one more question, maybe two. Robert in Clifton Park. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, I've got a 2011 Toyota RAV4 that this summer has started some curious behavior. When we turn left and left only or come to a stop, we get a little bit of fluid leakage out of the air conditioning system at the floor vent level.
Inside the car, I gather.
Yeah. And it has, it sounds like water rushing kind of in a river almost as we're turning left.
Yep. What you have there is pretty common. The air conditioning systems all have a drain hose, because when you cool off this hot, humid air, you're wringing moisture out of it. You're getting some condensation, and that air conditioning system is cooling a lot of air over a period of time. So that water collects in a little tray or reservoir in the heating air conditioning system, and then it roots its way out through a hose and drips on the ground. You've seen a lot of cars at stoplights in super hot, humid weather leaving a big puddle of water. Your vent is plugged, your drain is plugged, and it can't get the water out. So it's just a matter of getting under the car or raising it, finding that drain tube and clearing it out. And usually the obstruction's down low and you can clear it, and a bunch of water will run out, and you'll be fine.
Thank you for calling in. We are just about out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in and apologize to those left on the line. I'd like to thank our guest, Gordon Fricke, for stopping by. Gordon, thanks a lot. See you next time.
Great. Thank you.
Underwriting support for WAMC comes from Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets. From photographs, edith-hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Colby Attorney Service, corporate formations, document retrieval services, court filings, and legal publishing for the legal and professional communities since 1939, colbyservice.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association presenting Sean Rao in concert, Putnam Place, Saratoga Springs, August 17th, to benefit local farmland conservation efforts, agstewardship.org for details. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services. And a Massachusetts inspection station over 50 years, BoydenandParent.com. Thanks for joining us today on the program. Our engineer, Rob Chacon. Jim Lavoulis is the producer. Amber Sickles took your calls. I'm Brian Shields. Tomorrow, Vox Pop Food Friday. Three farmers come into the show tomorrow. We await your calls tomorrow, Food Friday, Vox Pop. Stay tuned now for Capital Connection.